Our God is great. Amen. Isn't it wonderful to be together in his presence in darkness and to worship our God and focus on his word? This morning we're going to continue. It's the last sermon of Moses. And you know what? The most challenging thing has been is like, wow, there could be 20, 30 sermons based on Moses. How do we choose four things to preach about? But it's been a wonderful challenge. If you'd like to turn with me in your pew Bibles to page 71, we're going to be reading from Exodus chapter 33. So we're jumping ahead, and then a little bit later, we're going to jump back again and then jump back to 33. We're going to talk also today a little bit about the burning bush and the call of Moses. But here we're focusing on Moses speaking face to face with God. Exodus chapter 33, starting with verse 7. Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshipped, each at the entrance of their tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend. Moses said to the Lord, "You've been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." And the Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name." And then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." Let's pray. Lord, that's our prayer this morning, is that your presence would go with us, Lord, that you would even show us more and more of your glory, Lord. At least a glimpse is what we're asking for. We thank you, Lord, that you speak to us, that we can encounter you, that you see us and you know each and every one of us by name. So bless us, Lord, as we open our hearts to you to receive from you today. In Jesus' name, amen. So when I was thinking about a story of encounter, one of the ones that came to my mind immediately, which I love this story, is Mother Teresa's account that she shared about how she heard a calling from God. Mother Teresa, Sister Teresa at that time, was teaching in a school in Calcutta. She'd been teaching there for over 20 years. She would go past people who were very poor, and so she was very moved by this. But she became the headmistress of the school, and she thought she'd probably spend the rest of her time teaching in that school. She was on a train from Calcutta to another part of the country in India, and along there, God spoke to her. In other words, she had an encounter with God. She called it the call within a call. She said God spoke to her with unmistakable clarity, saying this, "Come be my light. I want you to serve the poorest of the poor." She later described it not as just like some vague impression, but a direct summons, a deep conviction that Jesus was calling her to leave the convent and live among the people who were suffering. She got off the train at the very next stop, turned around and went back, went out into the streets with nothing, started spending time with people who were destitute, who had nothing. then calling others to get involved. And we know what happened after that. Mother Teresa ministry encompassed many cities, and she became very, very well known. This speaks to me as if am I being aware of what God is saying to me, not just with that big calling that changes your life, but every day, am I paying attention, believing that, yes, God speaks to his people, and he will speak to us? And am I ready for that prompting that says, stop what you're doing and do this? Here's someone I want you to talk to. Here's something I want you to do just to bless someone. I pray that God would open my ears so I can be attentive to him. So we're going to switch back now to Moses. And if you want to, you can turn with me to chapter 3. I'm going to highlight a few things from there about the burning bush, which is, by the way, on page 46 in the Bibles. Moses had a life-transforming encounter with God, and so can we. Moses had a life encounter with God. We can also have that life encounter with God. Moses encountered God in the wilderness when he was tending sheep. He'd been there for a long time. He'd left Egypt after he'd had a crisis. He'd murdered an Egyptian who was abusing an Israeli, and after that had to flee because Pharaoh was after him. But after many years, he'd become accustomed to being a shepherd. We read in chapter 3, it says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. Why does the bush not burn up? When the Lord saw that he'd gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. And then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And at this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. And the Lord said to him, I have seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I want to just point out this verse. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. So that question there, let's just focus on that. Moses replied, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? It's a little perplexing because we know that Moses was actually a prince in Egypt. He'd been raised in Pharaoh's court. So you'd think that if God spoke to him, he'd say, yeah, okay, I kind of get that. I've been a leader before. I've had status. I've had clout. Is it that after 20 years or more, we don't know how long exactly, in the wilderness, being a shepherd, he'd just forgotten all about it? Was his self-esteem plummeted that he couldn't even say anything in response except, who am I? Or was this God's plan all along? To bring Moses to that place of realizing, I have nothing to offer here. My status, my past, my training, it's not going to help here. So God, who am I to go to see Pharaoh? Was it God's plan to put Moses exactly in the place where he knew, I can do nothing, before God then started revealing his power to him? It goes on then. God showed him miracles. He said, put your hand in your cloak and take it out. And it turned to leprosy, and he put it back in again. And it was healed. He said, take up your staff and throw it on the ground. It turned into a snake. And then he picked it back up again. And it was just his staff or his rod. So God was proving to him, I am all powerful and I can do whatever I want with whomever I want. I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. and I am choosing to move through you, and I've chosen you as an instrument. Moses then replied with more excuses. He said in chapter 4 then, verse 10, I am slow of speech and tongue. Perhaps Moses had a speech impediment, we don't know. Maybe he got his words mixed up when he got in front of people, but he did not feel confident to do what God had called him to do. You know, we all feel like that. It's like, God, no, please don't make me get up in front of people. Most of us do anyway. We're afraid that we'll stumble over our words. We can relate. And then in 4 verse 13, he becomes rather stubborn. He says, please, send someone else. Send someone else. The Lord has spoken to him and said, I have seen the suffering of these people. In their misery, they're crying out to me because they're oppressed as slaves, and I see their suffering. But apparently Moses was not moved. He was lacking in compassion. After all, he'd tried to help years before and had failed. As I mentioned earlier, when he saw an Egyptian abusing an Israelite, he killed the Egyptian, but the Israelites, they sneered at him and rejected his help, saying, ha, you're going to help us like you helped that Egyptian yesterday that you killed. Maybe he carried that resentment and hurt in his heart. But God spoke to him. The words that he said when he called him is, I will be with you. Go, and I will be with you. Moses then traveled back to Egypt. He was obedient, and he completed the call of God on his life. And from this point on, we see Moses as a leader who is obedient to the Lord. He was, in other words, he was transformed by this encounter with God. His priorities changed. He could no longer go back and take care of the sheep. He became a powerful leader. He became a man who was filled with compassion and ambition for his people, and that ambition took over every aspect of his life. In fact, he began pleading with God. There's places where his intercession was so deep, he was crying out for the Israelites. His heart then was completely changed, and he was consumed with zeal for God's work. Today I ask the question, if we truly encounter God, how will it change us? How will it change us if we truly encounter him? And what would we hear God say to us? Just be quiet a moment and say, God, what would you say to me? Waiting for the rain to fall like it did a few weeks ago. What will we hear God say? And who would God speak to us about? Who would he say, I have heard the cry of, and I'm calling you? Who would he say, I've seen their misery, I've seen their suffering, and I am sending you? And what would be our response? Will our priorities change? And will we hear the gentle voice of God saying, I will be with you? God's call to Moses was not just to go. It was an invitation to be with him. He's calling him on a wondrous, miraculous journey of saying, if you come, if you're obedient, I'm going to be with you, and it's going to be extraordinary. You're going to be changed. You're going to experience such joy and profoundness in this world that you can't even imagine. Will you come? These are the words that the Lord speaks to us. Will you come? Will you step out in something new and then experience my presence like you've never experienced it before? You know, I talk a lot about encounter. In fact, last night when I was working on this sermon, I said to Lori, do you remember me preaching a sermon before on encounter? She's like, yeah, I think a few times. I went back through some of my sermons, and sure enough, it's kind of a common theme over and over. But I want to continue because I know that an encounter with God changes us. Is what we need. We need the simple encounters of our daily devotions, just being in his presence, and we need the Holy Spirit-filled, powerful moments when God touches our lives and empowers us for what he's calling us to do in this world. And in this, again, I'm not talking about the grand call, that you're called just to go do something a different part of the world necessarily, or change your profession even. God's call most often comes to us to be a light where you are, to take note of the people around you, to be his witness in your workplace, your school place, to do excellent work, to serve God with the power upon us. That is his calling for each one of us. But we need to listen and say, Lord, show me then how to be your witness, your servant, how to do my work excellently. A couple weeks ago, Pastor Josh shared that God is moving among us. And I like very much what he said. He says, it's not because of Pastor Tim or me or anyone else, but it's because there is a yearning in this congregation to meet with God. My prayer and exhortation today is, may this yearning increase. May we have glimpses of God, what God wants to do among us, and cry out to God to bless us. Let us cry out fervently for God to move in us and change us and make us ready for what he wants to do in this world, saying, Lord, here we are. We are your servants. We know God's promises. We know he is all-powerful, and he can do whatever he wants with whomever he wants. And that includes each and every one of us here today. It's clear in his word. He wants to pour out his presence, his power, and raise up a body of believers who will bring about his purposes in this world. And friends, we're that body of believers that God is raising up for his purposes. He's been working, he's been doing good work, and this work continues. May we be this people that God has set apart for himself and for his purposes in this world to lead people out of bondage and slavery to sin and find freedom and life in Christ. We need life-transforming encounters with God. Let's pray for this and let's cry out to God for this. And when we fervently cry out to him, ready to be obedient, God will answer and we will see him moving in new ways among us. So Moses, he had this life-transforming encounter with God. But God then also, it says, he spoke to him face to face. And here's where we're jumping back to Exodus chapter 33. God spoke to Moses in his encounter of the burning bush. He is transformed by the powerful presence of God. But then the conversation continued as God was with him. It says in 33:11, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Now, that's pretty incredible. Have anyone raise your hand here? Have you spoken to God face to face? We could actually, in that way?
I haven't.
Praise God. That is wonderful to hear. Most of us have not had that encounter with face to face with God, but he still speaks to us. It says in Psalm 145, verse 18, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. And we also look forward to the promise that we will see him face to face. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, for now we only see a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, and then I shall fully know, even as I am fully known. So this is something that is coming. We will see him and speak with him face to face. But back to the here and now. When does God speak to us? How do we hear his voice? Moses was alone in the desert when he first encountered God. Often he would go up to a mountain. In fact, he was in the desert, but on the mountain of Mount Horeb when God appeared to him. We also read how Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Moses also had a designated place, a tent of meeting that we read about earlier. In verse 7 of 33, it says, now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. And then the cloud would come and be at the entrance of the tent, and people would know he was talking with God. It says others came there also to hear from God. So first of all, we need time being alone with God, as Jen said earlier to the children. We need time alone with God to intentionally meet with him. This means whether it means getting up early in the morning before the family awakes, going for a walk, or going into a room and shutting the door, spending that time alone with him. I read about a mom who'd get up early in the morning and she didn't have any place private to go because the family was all around her. She took a sheet, put it over her head for her alone time with God, and everyone knew, we don't disturb mom when the sheet is over her head. I've heard God most often when I'm simply still with a quiet time in the morning waiting on him and intentionally listening. It also happens when I meditate on his word, a verse that speaks out and God starts speaking to me what's going on in his word. I hear God's voice when I intercede for others. When we spend time praying for others, God's spirit is moving through us. And sometimes we start hearing things even about what God wants to say to them or how we should pray for other people. Sometimes there's just thoughts that come to our mind and we don't recognize it. It really is. God is speaking to us. And this is a gift of listening that we need to cultivate and practice. It's also wonderful to get together in a group and listen together. Say, let's take time, just listen, and then share. What impressions did you have? And often someone will say, well, I guess, I don't think so, it's from the Lord, but I had this thought that came to my mind. And others will say, yes, that was the Lord speaking to you. So we want to cultivate listening to the Lord. So Moses, again, his life-transforming encounter with God, God spoke to him face to face. And the third point is God's abiding presence went with Moses and the Israelites. And his abiding presence is with us too. If we look at Exodus chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, Moses said to God, again, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. So that was a promise to Moses specifically. And it's also a promise to us. God will be with us. But in Exodus chapter 33, 14 through 17, that whole passage, he says to him, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. So I believe this is something a little bit different than just, I will be with you. This was a sense of the corporate presence of God, that God was with the nation of Israel, that his presence was going to go out with them wherever they went, and it was manifest by a cloud during the day and a fire by night. When they encountered other peoples, they could sense the presence of God, and sometimes they turned away in fear. We desire the presence of God to be among us. For the powerful presence of God to be here. Moses said then to the Lord, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? Moses made it clear, he's basically saying, God, I won't go unless your presence goes with us. So I am thankful God's presence is among us. His presence is with you. And his presence envelops us all. And we desperately need his presence as individuals in our families and in our church body. God's presence is here. The reason I am here is because 2.5 years ago, I came here to meet some people. And as soon as I walked through the door, I just stopped. I said, wow, I feel the presence of God here. And I couldn't forget it. I still think about that moment often. Walking some evening, walk through, it was kind of dark inside, and just stopping and going, I feel the peace of God. I feel his presence here. It was remarkable. And I continue that God's presence is here among us. It went further. As I met with people in this church, I sensed God's presence among them. That night I had a meeting with our board, I believe, or with the search team, I think it was. And I was just profoundly affected. Afterwards, I'm like, I sense the presence of God among this group of people. And I was like, I think I would love to work here and serve here if God would bless me in that way. We need to believe for the presence of God to go with us wherever we are. So it's not just our corporate worship on Sunday mornings. It's great when God comes in power and we feel his presence in a special way. But by the way, we go on in faith no matter what. We're not just looking for some type of emotional experience. We want the real power of God, and he is working among us. But also, for example, when we're going Christmas caroling on December 13, may the presence of God go with us. When we start working in the community garden, may the presence of God be all around us. Whoever comes in from our community to do gardening with us says, I feel something different when around those people. When we're playing pickleball, we invite others to play with us. When we're serving together and when we're having fellowship together in our homes, may the presence of God be strong among us. He is our protector. He gives us life, and he is moving through us. So Moses went from a man who lacked confidence, a man who didn't speak well, a man lacking in compassion and ambition, to a man who spoke face to face with God, and a man immersed in God's presence. Our fourth point now is Moses' relationship with God enabled him to face major disappointments with grace, and so can we. So I've been meditating for a few weeks now. I didn't preach for the last couple of weeks, so I've been working on the sermon and just imagining what would it be like to speak with God face to face. What would it be like to be in his presence, so glorious, to see his glory like Moses saw it? And then I came across the passage where it said, where God said to Moses, you're not coming into the promised land because you were disobedient to me. God told Moses to speak to the rock. Earlier he told him to strike a rock and water would come out. But then the second time he said to him, speak to the rock. But Moses got mad. He got frustrated with the people who he was leading, who were grumbling and complaining. And he was so mad, he took his rod and he struck the rock twice. And the Lord said to him immediately, he said, you and Aaron, you're not going into the promised land because you did not display my holiness and you were disobedient to me. Then it says at the very end, it's in Deuteronomy chapter 32, it says, on that same day the Lord told Moses, go up into the Abarim range to the Mount Nebo and Moab across from Jericho and view Canaan, the land I'm about to give the Israelites as their own possession. There on that mountain that you have climbed, you will die and be gathered to your people, just as your brother Aaron died on Mount Hor and was gathered to his people. This is because both of you broke faith with me in the presence of the Israelites at the waters of Meribah Kadesh and the desert of Zin, because you did not uphold my holiness among the Israelites. Therefore, you will only see the land, only from a distance. You will not enter the land I am giving to the people of Israel. Now, what's curious here is Moses doesn't respond. There are many other places where it tells about the conversation between Moses and God, and Moses argued with God. He said, God, please don't do that, do this. He pleaded and he cried out, he wrestled in prayer for long periods of time. He spent 40 days, for Pete's sake, on a mountain, praying to God and interceding for the people of Israel. But here, there's no record of any response. I wonder about that. Is it because Moses knew the glory of God and what was awaiting him, what he'd already experienced in the presence of the Lord, was so much greater than the promised land that he was leading people to, that he could simply say, okay, yes, Lord, I admit it, but I know I'm forgiven. I know he's disobedient, but thank you. You've had mercy on me. You've not abandoned me. You're still with me. Your presence is still with me. And it's beautiful, and it's wonderful, and I long for nothing more. As I've been thinking about this, seriously, it's changed me. Just realizing how often I get caught up with things in this world that really aren't that important. How often I get frustrated about things, and how often I'm busy trying to make things happen. And when I stop and realize God's love for me goes beyond anything I can imagine. And it's so great. He sent his son Jesus to die for me, and in him, all of his promises are made real. And therefore, what I have now is a treasure that makes everything else around me fade. It's really not that important. We still have ambition to serve him and do what he calls us to do, but we are at rest. And I better understood the promise that God gave to Moses. He said, I will be with you, my presence will be with you, and I will give you rest. When we're at peace with God, when we know how much he loves us, that he gave his life for us, how much he longs for us to be fully in his presence, that we're forgiven. I read a quote this week, it was so powerful. It says that our sins are like a drop in the ocean of God's love. How insignificant. That our sins are forgiven, and God's love is so much greater, and he welcomes us into his presence to be with him. Even when we can look back and say, okay, yeah, I messed up here and here. Here's a place when I was disobedient. Sure, there are some consequences to disobedience, but I still know my treasure is safe, and I am safe with him. Wow. Moses approaching death and just saying, what's coming is far, far greater than any promised land here on earth. And Lord, I'm ready. I'd like to invite our worship team to come up. I heard this, when I was listening to a sermon this week, I heard this old hymn that was quoted that goes like this. When all my labors and trials are o'er, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore will through the ages be glory for me. How many here know this hymn? The chorus then goes something like this. Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me. When by his grace I will look at his face, that will be glory for me. Let's pray together. Lord, we're so thankful that we can rest in your presence. Lord, your love for us is more than we can imagine. But we are so thankful, Lord, that you're patient with us. You don't give up on us. Lord, you forgive us over and over. But you see us and you call to us. Lord, open our ears to hear you. We pray, Lord, fill our hearts with compassion to see those around us. And Lord, open our ears that we hear your call every day. Lord, bring your presence among us, we pray. Thank you, Lord God, for your mercy, for your peace, and for your rest. So Lord Jesus, we just say now that we are grateful. We thank you for giving us life, that we love you. We dedicate our lives to you. And we pray this all in your precious name. Amen. Jesus, 'tis now.
say.